You're listening to Vatican Radio. A book presentation was held in Rome in mid-March for the launch of a new biography of the first Ukrainian Greek Catholic Bishop of Canada, Blessed Nikita Budka. Bishop Budka began his ministry in Canada just over 100 years ago in 1912, just before the beginning of the First World War. After 15 years in Canada, he returned to his native Galicia in what is now Ukraine. During the Soviet occupation of Ukraine following World War II, Bishop Budka was imprisoned and deported to Kazakhstan, where he died a martyr's death. Nikita Budka was beatified by St. John Paul II during the Pope's visit to Ukraine in 2001. Father Athanasius McVeigh of the Eparchy of Edmonton, Canada, is the author of the new biography on Blessed Nikita Budka. He spoke with Vatican Radio's Christopher Wells about the life of Bishop Budka and about his significance today. Let's listen.
Blessed Nikita was born in 1877 in what is now Western Ukraine. At the time, it was part of Austria-Hungary or the Austro-Hungarian Empire in a rather poor area. Bishop Budka entered the seminary, decided the best way to serve his people was to work for their, not merely their material well-being, but also their spiritual well-being, that their consciousness as a nation, that they would be spiritually renewed.
And in fact, when Bishop Budka was born and in his early life, Ukraine was not a nation as it is now at all. But there's still a consciousness of their national identity?
Ukraine was not a state, but of course, with nations are not necessarily the same as... Not all nations have political states. Ukraine, of course, as a nation, and the Ukrainian nation, Ukrainians used to be called Ruthenians in the 19th century, like many other peoples in Europe and in other parts of the world, underwent what is called a process of a national awakening, where they realized that they were a people, a nation separate from perhaps other Ruthenian tribes or people who called themselves Ruthenians that later developed a national consciousness, Belarusians or Belarusians, Carpatho-Ruthenians or Carpatho-Rusins, certainly that they felt they were a distinct nationality. They came to realize that they were distinct linguistically and culturally and in other ways from Russia, from Poland. This is a natural process that happens.
Now, you're a priest of the Eparchy of Edmonton in Canada, and of course the connection there is that Bishop Budka came to Canada as the first Ukrainian Greek Catholic bishop to serve in Canada. Can you tell us about his mission to Canada, to a nation in the New World, and his mission to the Ukrainian people there?
Well, in 1891, we have the first recorded Ukrainian immigrants to Canada, Vasil Eleniuk and another gentleman named, I think, Filippo. And from that time, about 100,000 or even more than 100,000 Ukrainians immigrated to Canada from the Austrian territories of Galicia and also Bukovina. Most of these, the Galicians especially, were of the Greek Catholic faith. Those from Bukovina belonged to the Orthodox faith. And the problem of migration and immigration was very acute at the end of the 19th century. And church leaders in the homeland were looking at this problem, especially Metropolitan Andrei Sheptytsky was examining this problem, migration even within Austria-Hungary, migration to the New World, looking for a better life. And he chose his young, very gifted young priest who he had sent to Innsbruck and Vienna to do his doctoral studies. And he chose Nikita Budka for missions in Prussia and Bosnia to stake out the territory, as it were, to examine the problems of migration and how the church can assist the people, how the church could minister to the people in their in the areas where they had migrated, which had no Eastern Catholic Church structure.
And so Nikita Budka was eventually sent to Canada. When did he go to Canada?
He was sent to Bosnia in the summer of 19, or chose to go to Bosnia in the summer of 1912. Bosnia was also within Austria-Hungary, as was Galicia, and studied the Ukrainian migration there. And he was substituting for the priest who was later beatified together with him, Emilian Koch, in a parish in Bosnia when he received a telegram informing him that the Holy Father, Pope Pius X, had appointed him bishop for all the Greek Catholics in the entire Dominion of Canada.
And that was very close to the beginning of the First World War. And can you talk about the experience of Ukrainian Catholics in during that time, and especially Bishop Budka's pastoral work with them during the war years?
It was a very challenging situation. Bishop Budka and many of his Ukrainian compatriots were recent arrivals in Canada, and they had not yet become Canadian citizens. At the time, Canadians were classified as British subjects, but they had not received their British status yet. Others who had been there longer, 3 or 4 years, would have had the opportunity to swear the oath to the king and receive the British Canadian status. But Budka and many others had not yet received this status, and when war broke out between the British Empire and the Central Powers, Germany and Austria-Hungary, this placed Bishop Budka and even the Ukrainians in Canada in a tricky situation. There was a question of divided loyalties. The Anglo-Protestant elite of Canada was very keen on assimilating the newcomers completely to the British way of life. And Bishop Budka was in favor of adaption to the new country and encouraged the people to learn English or French if they were in the French part of Canada, to be loyal to the new country, to the British king, and to take their place in Canadian society and help build a better country. However, their parents and brothers and sisters and family back home were on the opposite side of the war. And when the war broke out, when Britain and Austria were still not at war, but Serbia and Austria had gone to war, and the Ukrainians were certain that Russia would invade Galicia, which is Western Ukraine today, and suppress their Ukrainian identity and suppress the Greek Catholic Church, which is in fact what did happen later on after the Russian invasion. And so Bishop Budka issued a pastoral letter at the just before the war began, as the war was being declared, passing on information to the people who were Austrian citizens that the Austria-Hungary had called upon them to return to the motherland to enlist, those who were not only eligible, those who were obligated to perform the military service. At the time, Britain was doing its best to keep out of the war, and very few people could have predicted that it would enter the war on the side of France and Russia, which were Austria's enemies. But when Britain and Germany declared war against one another, it seemed certain that Austria-Hungary, a German ally, would become involved. And at the time, Bishop Budka then wrote a new pastoral letter for the new situation, explaining that those who had come to Canada who were Canadian citizens or who had intended to remain in Canada were loyal to the new country and were willing to give their military service and even their treasure, and even said their own lives to defend the new homeland.
Can you talk a little bit about the pastoral issues then that faced Ukrainians in Canada during the war?
Well, many of the Ukrainians were not only Austrian subjects, even some Canadian citizens or British subjects, but mostly what the category was created, enemy aliens, were interned in internment camps. And the church was grappling with how to minister to these people in the camps without seeming disloyal to Canada that was at war with Germany and Austria. So the bishop and his clergy encouraged and in fact organized pastoral ministration to those in the camps, and then also any ministry which took place to those at liberty. The clergy had to be very careful not to make any public statements which could be construed as being disloyal to Canada or Britain. So even though that their family members back home were on one side of the war, and in fact the Ukrainian Catholic Church, the primate was in Austria-Hungary, and their fellow clergy and bishops were being persecuted by the Russian Empire, the Tsarist regime. And yet the Tsarist regime was allied with Britain and France, was part of the Entente, or the Allies. And so they had to be very careful not to make any statements that could be construed as disloyal. This was very difficult for the Galician Ukrainians, the Western Ukrainians, because they knew of the terrible persecution that Russia had initiated against their families and their church back home. But towards the end of the war, after the Russian Revolution, the situation was alleviated.
Now, summing up a long and eventful life very briefly, Nikita Budka is honored and recognized as blessed. He's been beatified. Can you tell us about the final days of Bishop Budka and the final events of his life?
Well, Bishop Budka served as the bishop for the Greek Catholics in Canada, so not only the Ukrainians, but other Greek Catholics, so Slovak and Carpatho-Ruthenian, anyone who was of the Byzantine Slavic Catholic rites, for 15 years. And after that time, he made his second ad limina visit to Rome. And at the time, the Apostolic See decided that because of Bishop Budka's health and because of problems with finances and administration, that it would be best for him to resign and entrust the mission to another bishop. After Bishop Budka resigned, he returned to his home Archdiocese of Lviv, which by that time, after the First World War, had passed from Austrian to Polish administration. So he returned to Lviv and spent another 15 years in Lviv, despite his poor health, in very zealous apostolic ministry to the people. At the end of 1944, for the second time, the Soviet armies came through Western Ukraine, occupied it, and declared it part of the Soviet Union. The communists very quickly arrested all of the Greek Catholic bishops, including Nikita Budka, on the 11th of April 1945. They were deported to Kyiv, which is the capital of Ukraine, of the Ukrainian SSR at the time, and they were put on a military trial and condemned for crimes against the Communist Party, the Soviet Union, and even for the crime, interestingly enough, coming from a atheist communist tribunal, for the crime of having opposed the Russian Orthodox Church, which was, of course, a state church even for the Soviet Union. So the Bishop Budka was then sentenced to 8 years in a labor camp, and he was sent to a camp outside of Karaganda, Kazakhstan, in a place called Karajar. And he died there at the end of September, as far as we can ascertain, 28th of September 1949, after just a few years of captivity. In 2001, when St. John Paul II made his historic trip to Ukraine, St. John Paul, knowing very well the history of the Greek Catholic Church, even from his own lands. He came from the other part of Galicia, from West Galicia, the Polish part, and the Ukrainians had come from the eastern part. He beatified a number of Greek Catholic martyrs, Blessed Mykola Czarnecki and companions, which included Nikita Budka.
And one last question, Father. Of course, you're doing this new biography. I believe it was connected with the centenary of the arrival of Bishop Budka in Canada. And certainly I know the Canadian, Ukrainian, Greek Catholic bishops have supported very much your work. Can you speak about the significance of Bishop Budka today?
In 2012, in Canada, the Catholic Church, the Catholic Churches, both the Ukrainian Rite and the Latin Rite, commemorated the centenary of the creation of this new bishopric for the Greek Catholics in Canada in the person of Blessed Budka. The Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops that year paid particular honor to Blessed Budka, and in reissuing the new translation of the Roman Missal for all the churches in Canada, the Canadian bishops chose, both the French and English missals, to honor Blessed Nikita Budka and Blessed Vasil Velichkovsky, another Ukrainian martyr whose relics are in Winnipeg. by making them the object of veneration of all 13 million Catholics of whatever rite in Canada. And so this happened in 2012, and the book was commissioned for that occasion. But this was a 5-year project, and it took a little bit longer than had been anticipated.
And he's Bishop Budka, Blessed Nikita Budka, is still an inspiration for the people of Canada and for Ukraine, of course, as well.
I think his example as the shepherd of immigrants and migrant peoples in such a multicultural society as Canada is very important. And his labors among poor, marginalized flock, you could say that, as Pope Francis often speaks of the peoples on the peripheries, that this is very much who the Ukrainians and other peoples were coming to Canada. And I think it's a very important example, also an example very much of sacrifice, someone who gave up everything, even, you could say, his personal reputation. Some people had questioned, you know, his motives on many issues. And finally, after a life of totally dedicated service, he gave up everything, including his own life, rather than break with the unity of the Catholic Church, the universal church that was instituted by Christ, and the unity with Blessed Peter the Apostle and his successors, which is the hallmark of the Ukrainian Catholic Church, that it is a church of martyrs, of Eastern Catholics who are fully proud of their own Byzantine Slavic traditions and at the same time fiercely united with the Apostolic See and the successor of Peter. It's what defines us.